You're listening to one of the messages from the Chosen Camp. We pray you are strengthened by this message.
I just want to encourage you, open your spirits. Yesterday evening, Jesus came to me. You'll have to just excuse me if I start manifesting and moving around under the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to share some encounters with you, starting with the invitation that Jesus extended to us last night. I've been in really deep intercession for us all morning and just with him, holy. And I know that he's taking us, he already has started, right, last night and this morning and on, and he's taking us somewhere new, somewhere very holy. So I'm going to be a little bit vulnerable. I'm going to share from my own life, and I'm going to share some of the encounters that Jesus has taken me through that are to do with the time that we're in. So when I share, I just encourage you, listen with your spirit. Let my words facilitate encounters with Jesus for you. Because what the Lord shows me, you know, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, right? What one of us shares, we're all invited into that experience. And a lot of what my walk is about experiencing revelation and encounters with Jesus that are to do with our corporate reality. And the specific experiences with him that he wanted me to share today are about the time that we've entered into, which is the time of the transfiguration of God's people. From where we've been in intermittent capacity to walk with him and levels of awareness of our identity to being delivered from all constructs of false identity and to operate out of the truth of who we actually are now because of what the blood of Jesus has done for us in creating a new, we're a new creation, right? I was going to say creating a new species to use that language, but you know what I mean. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus. The very substance of the core of our being is now God himself, right? We're filled holy. Oh, wow. We're filled with Holy Spirit. And we're supposed to be, his desire is that we would be filled and engulfed with him over and over and over and infused with the nature of who he is, the virtue, right, and beauty of who Jesus Christ is until every fiber and dimension of our being radiates with the light of his glory. It's a time of the glory bride emerging, transfigured, looking like him as a mirror image reflecting Christ, his presence into this earth, into every single life we touch. Wow, holy. So, I'm going to share last night's invitation for us, and then let's just pray a little bit, and then I'll flow with Holy Spirit. I want to go at the pace Holy Spirit's leading. For me, none of us need another meeting, right? This is a holy convocation. It's a gathering of hungry, desperate hearts of the family of God who are set apart time to sit at his feet because we're desperate for more. I mean, that's the truth, isn't it? We're all in this place at the moment. I believe it's a grace that's ushering us into this level of transformation that he's inviting us into. Now, this hunger, some of it's we're being pushed into his presence by pain. Some of it's we've just got more hunger than we've ever had. We're going, there's got to be more. There's more. There's more than this. Lord, bring us in. You know, we're being stripped. Things are being stripped away from our lives. People have gone through such difficult times, as we were hearing last night. I mean, it's all around us. Everywhere I travel, internationally and nationally, you know, people are hurting. And people are crying out and saying, there's got to be more. There's got to be more. And people are starting to get glimpses of what the glory bride looks like, of who we actually truly are in Christ. That we're ones that are going to live consistently, fully aligned on the inside with the truth of who we are. living from the place of the finished work of Golgotha, instead of finding ourselves in our pain begging God to change things, we'll actually be synchronized on the inside, connected, fully alive, drawing on the tree of life for our perspective of reality and the truth of who we are and his presence meeting all of our needs. He desires to meet all our needs out of his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. You know, the key there, as we know, is it's in the glory our needs are met in Christ Jesus. His invitation, his desire is that we learn how to live in that place of abiding. John 15, he's the vine, we're the branches. The more consciously we're aligned on the inside, connected into the present presence, right? Jesus is always, his presence is always in the present moment. So in the present moment, being consciously, continually connected, drinking on him, being filled with him, his strength undergirding us. This is the invitation. This is where we're moving to execute the judgment of God, judging unto life, ruling from the finished work of Golgotha, governing with his nature as we reveal Christ, as we become love, as we speak words of life and wisdom connected to the heart of God. This is who we are. It's our destiny. He's bringing us into sonship. He's bringing us into the fullness of who we actually are as the bride. Holy. Ones in covenant relationship with him, filled with him. A doorway, right, between heaven and earth, through which his spirit flows, an extension of the being of God as the body of Christ. We are the government of God, right, as we're aligned to his headship, as we're connected to who he is, as we're yielded to him, as we're sensitive to his presence, as we're continually abiding, filled, being transformed through the awareness of his presence and the truth of his love for us. Wow. 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 Come on. This is who we are. We're just coming into full God consciousness as opposed to intermittent God consciousness. Holy, holy. This is the season. This is the season. Many of us are seeing it. Many prophets are seeing it. I've been privileged to be walking in the secret place of Jesus, having encounters for years about this hour, about the time we're in now, the invitation that he's extending to us to come into the more, in, as Julie has said, into the time of the glory resting upon us, filling us. Wow. You know, like having God overshadowing us, like Peter's shadow healed the sick because of who was overshadowing him. Right, walking connected to the tangible, overshadowing, indwelling presence of the Lord all the time. And then wherever we go, every person that we meet, opening up in that moment and knowing what it is that the Lord wants to give that person and release, and being able to release that, whether it's deliverance, healing, a word of compassion, truth. But when we're connected to the source of life, what we release is dunamis power. Contained within that word of truth. Under the unction of the Holy Spirit, you know, it's like God spoke and brought the earth into being. We're made in his image. As we're connected with him, we speak and recreative life moves over that ministry, over that family, into that heart, over that nation. The spirit realm knows who God is and who belongs to God, whose words are full of life and authority because they're coming from his heart. Holy. Wow. So the invitation last night, I was just kneeling down in worship and I could feel the holy presence of Jesus, and I looked with my spiritual eyes and I saw him in front of me, and I felt the virtue of his nature touch me, holiness. And I reached out and touched his feet and clung to his ankles. And I saw him, he was wearing a brown garment of humility. And I could feel his gentleness and humility and compassion as purity. And I knew that he was moving among us to release this grace. And what am I, like, you know, as the Lord shows us things, like understanding flooded my spirit. And I knew that what he was inviting us into was to experience deliverance through experiencing his purity and his holiness from the orphan state of our hearts. Holy. And where we have, you know, it's common to all of us. There's no condemnation. This is a judgment-free zone, right? We're family. And we just all, we're all here, and our hearts are to facilitate an atmosphere where you can enter into encounter. So everything that's said is with love. I knew that what the Lord wanted to do was remove from us, and we'll have a time to respond at the end of this session. I mean, respond while I'm speaking in your heart, so that it be a conversation with you and Jesus. But at the end, we'll just have a time where I just want to pray for you all. I knew that what the Lord was releasing power to do was to remove everything within us where our legitimate needs for identity and self-worth, but where we're meeting those needs in wrong ways, where those needs are not met in Christ, where the orphaned state, those areas within us that are not yet fully immersed in the experience of Jesus' love and Father's love for us, where we're not fully secure and we're still needing other things to help us understand our identity and to feel confident, where we're struggling with low self-esteem, low self-worth, where we perhaps move in a political spirit. You know, we have agendas in why we have relationships with certain people or why we do what we do, where we're not yet operating in full sonship, where we're not yet motivated entirely by love. And we're all moving in this, aren't we? We're all in varying degrees, varying stages of capacity. We're moving into attaining a state of perfection by his grace as Holy Spirit transfigures us. The invitation was to become free from those support structures that are actually not holding us up. They're holding in place the orphan state. And from years and years and years of intercession and prayer journeys and assignments and working with leaders and ministries and all sorts here and you know, in different countries, I have seen that over and over. This is not conclusive, but I have seen that a vast proportion of the warfare that affects our lives lands into the orphan spirit, let into the orphan heart. The orphan spirit has an assignment to hold us in false identity under the definitions of how the world would define our identity, or the enemy would define our identity, or we would understand ourselves as the emotional journey that we've had, the soul journey that we've had through life this far. They are temporal, as we know, they are temporal circumstances. That is the emotional realm of the soul. It's our emotional response to our circumstances in life. That's not who we are. Who we are is a child of God. Who we are is a carrier of glory. Somebody hosting now the very presence of Almighty God. The enemy's biggest strategy, I believe, against us is identity theft. He works very hard to destroy us and to disconnect us from the presence of God, because when we know who we are, we're unstoppable, we're undefeatable, we're undeceivable. When we know who we are, when we know whose we are, when we remain connected, that's the key, right? How do you walk like this? Intimacy. Preserving, protecting, prioritizing our connection with Jesus Christ. Simply abiding, taking time every day, just simply, like Julie was saying, just breathe him in. Breathe him in. Learn how to increasingly be aware of his indwelling presence and connect and allow the strength of who he is inside of us to just come back up, release the power of God within you, purify you again, release the attributes of his nature through you again until you're aligned, till everything he is becomes everything that you are in that moment again. You can move forward, filled with the virtue of who he is. That's power, right? Galatians 5, the nature of God, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, against which there is no greater authority. So his nature is true government. God is government, right? He is the penultimate authority. There's no defeated, created being, the realm of darkness, that has supreme authority over him. The enemy was defeated at Golgotha. His only remaining weapon is deception. When we fill ourselves with light, when we fill ourselves with truth, when we turn in away from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and back into the tree of life as our source, our worldview, our perspective, our strength, we become undefeatable. We have to say yes to his invitation to this shift. He is aligning us now to be able to walk like this more consistently than we ever have. Holy, he's teaching us the power of the blood, and he's teaching us what the cross has actually achieved. Holy. Thank you, Jesus. So our response really is a simple yes. Yes, Jesus. Deconstruct false identity within me. Deconstruct where I've believed that I am how I feel in this temporary orphaned state. Show me who I am again in you. You know, we become like the one we behold, right? The more we gaze upon him, that's why worship's so powerful. Because as we gaze upon him, we engage the very presence of God. The reality of who he is fills us, and we're engulfed with purity and power. The resurrection spirit of God, right? The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is inside us, releasing life to our mortal bodies, filling us with light, collapsing, extinguishing darkness. You know, this one of the scriptures, the beginning of John, isn't it, where it says the light shines in the darkness and the darkness can never extinguish it. Full stop. I mean, wow. So the more we get filled with the light of God, it's like walking into a room, right? You switch the light on and the darkness ceases to exist. It's not about battling demons. It's about eradicating them with the very presence of Almighty God. They know who the carriers of the King are, you know? I'll just share this a little bit. I'm following Holy Spirit here. I've gone completely off my notes, but anyway. It's more important you hear Holy Spirit. There was, long story cut, very, very short. There was a lady that was rescued out of Anton LaVey's satanic church. And her testimony is a long, powerful, powerful story. But the bit I wanted to draw out for you from this was that she was trained to basically target people, to kill people through curses. And when she came out and she was explaining to Christians what the training regime was, she said, "We were told that we could curse anybody other than those that carried the light, and that if they saw the light in an individual Christian, particularly leaders that they were targeting, they had to stop, because those that carried the light, the curses would rebound back on them and it could kill them." That's really huge. Yeah, really, really. I mean, I know we've been told by witches or former witches that they would cross over the road when they see the light on certain Christians when they you know, cross paths. Isn't it sad that they know that, but yet they still serve the one who is inferior? It's just a deception. It's very sad. But it's important for us to know that. You know, that's it. There's a powerful tool in our arsenal to understand that it is the light of God that the darkness cowers back and moves away from and doesn't mess with, because they know who he is. And the fastest way for transfiguration, to be healed, delivered, redeemed, set free, is to be immersed in his presence, filled with his glory. Holy. Holy. You know when you're in that ascended place, don't you? You know when you're connected, when you're full, where faith is ignited inside of you. Everything inside of you is aligned. You're in that intimate place of oneness, experiencing the mystical union of the reality of Christ in us, the hope of glory, the surety, that word means in the original language. It's the absolute surety of glory. We now have glory within us. We are being transfigured, taken from glory to glory to glory to ultimately be the perfect reflection of God here. As Christ was, so are we in this world. It's amazing. This is our life. It's amazing. And he's just opening up. I mean, people are already walking in this, but there's more available for all of us. And he's just opening up this next vista of revelation to us and inviting us in and going, come, sit at the banqueting table and feast on me. Let me show you more of what of heaven's intention for your life, of who you are now, of what time it is in history. Holy. We're becoming love. Shh. Wow. Wow. God is love. Holy. Shh. So I'll just share a little bit. I don't want to go into all of my life, but this is just to impart hope to you of the more, and just to testify of truths, because as we share the testimony of Jesus, it releases the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus into the room. So grab it, you know, as your spirits stir and respond to what I'm saying, just let it be that conversation, help aiding that conversation with you and Jesus, because this is about you and him. This whole time is about you and him. He's going to wreck you if you let him. Yeah. We're supposed to live drunk, right? Yeah. All the time. Wow. Right. Wow. Holy. Kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So any part of you that isn't flowing in righteousness, clothed in his nature, peace, shalom, and joy, which is the strength of God, needs to go. It's not aligned. The insecurity and the fear and the doubt and the stress and the pressure and the anxiety, I get it. Live through the whole range of emotions and some. It's not, that's not who we are in Christ. There's another default reality, internal reality that he's establishing in us. Christ in us. Christ formed in us. Every attribute of his nature formed in us. Anything that isn't is on its way out. It's part of the old nature. It's part of the Adamic nature. Holy, 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 he's bringing us forth to look like him, to co-reign with him. We're learning, right? We're like, we've got big L plates on, all of us. Well, some are further along the road. But we've all got, we're all learning all the time. We have to sit all the time, don't we, in a spirit of humility. And I think the more you go on, the more you realize you don't know about the Lord, and we just have to sit in humility and love him. And the more you go on, the less judgmental you are, I think. And you realize anything any of us knows, any bit of virtue that's manifesting through us and making us look awesome is Holy Spirit. He's the way, right? He's the truth and the life. So about, I can't remember now, long time ago now, can't remember exactly, maybe 25 years ago now, something like that. I was a very, very broken orphan. I was a very sophisticated, very broken orphan who dressed well, and had the high life in London and mixed with millionaires and was very successful in the fashion industry and had all the bells and whistles and the right address and the right cars and the right jewellery and the whole razzmatazz and in the upper echelons of the Babylonian system. And had a bit of fame and, you know, the whole everything that you aspire after to get your, you know, and I think fantastic. If you're in a career that makes you famous, it's a platform for influence. You know, in God, platforms are supposed to be occupied by people that can reveal God. I believe that. Wow. You know, I worked in Hollywood for a while and I saw that very clearly, that the platforms of fame are to help influence the nations with the truth. They're platforms to disciple people with the truth. And, you know, and I have huge respect for creatives and people who are in the performing arts, etc. And money, again, you know, as it's under the headship of Jesus, I've been a millionaire twice and then not, and, you know, up and down and all the seasons of life. And money was my identity, my self-worth, my security, and the Lord stripped a lot and in a moment. And so I was, as we do, you know, I wasn't a mean, horrible person. I was a needy person who was trying to find a sense of belonging and security. And I was trying to find somebody to take care of me. So I ended up in wrong relationships, need driven in my choices. And so I ended up in a long time ago in a very dysfunctional marriage. And both parties should never have been married. It was a need-driven choices. We collided into each other and it was a very dysfunctional situation. I ended up in years and years of abuse. My ex-husband was unfortunately an addict. I don't want to uncover, you know, his collective life choices brought him to that place of pain. The result of that is, in the middle of all of that craziness and abuse and excess and, you know, very well put together orphan living, I became clinically depressed. I also then developed a little later on a condition called motor neuron transmission disorder. So I became chronically ill. I was dying. Through all of that, I cried out. I was on Prozac, antidepressants, absolute mess. Cried out a desperate prayer and just said, God, if you're real, help me. Long story cut, very, very short. I ended up not taking the medication I was on that night. I just felt I was not supposed to do that. I was terrified of mental illness, and I felt like I was on the edge of a nervous breakdown because I'd watched my mum in my childhood go through 7 nervous breakdowns, so I was very scared of it. I'd spent a lot of time in mental institutions when I was little and, well, up into my teenage years. So for anybody who struggles with that, I understand that journey. It was very difficult. Long story cut short, I ended up crying this desperate prayer, woke up the following morning, and I had been baptized in the Holy Spirit and completely healed of clinical depression. Yeah. Didn't know who Holy Spirit was, not been churched, had no language, no idea, hurtled headlong into a cult because I just wanted to find people who talked about Jesus. I had no discernment at all. Quickly got out of that. Anyway, I realized there were some alarm bells that were pretty obvious. Anyway, so moving forward, my life radically changed. All my spiritual senses had been switched on. Then on the 20th of January, 1995, I was in one of my exotic holidays in the Seychelles, where by this stage in my life, I just was pursuing the Lord. I'd pursued everything else. So the trinkets of the world didn't fulfill me anymore. I knew that was not the way. Anyway, 20th of January, 1995, I had a physical visitation from Jesus. And my life completely changed. I knew that everything I had ever understood my identity to be as I tried to craft and form life myself was not the truth. And that actually who we are as sons and daughters of the King is the truth. So Jesus stood before me. He revealed himself to me as a Jewish man. He was about 5'10", black hair in a middle part, dark brown eyes. He had a long beige garment on and bare feet. And in the first split seconds of seeing him, I felt I couldn't look at him. I was terrified. I was excruciatingly self-conscious and full of shame. But within nanoseconds, split seconds, the love of who he is started to hit me. It was coming off him in waves, literally waves of light. There was light coming off his skin glowed, his eyes shone, and there were waves of light coming out of his eyes and coming off his being. And so within split seconds, as these waves of love hit me, I became whole. It's like being washed through with purging, purifying, holy love as an energy. And I've never felt, it's an understatement, I struggle to adequately describe what happened. But in a moment, I felt his complete acceptance. He was physically there. He's as real as you are sitting there. He reached out his hands to me and he said, come with me. Always come and rest with me a while. And then he took me up on a hill and we sat under a tree and I just wept. I just wept and wept and wept all the years of all my life and all my childhood and all the pain and trauma, everything to that moment, as his love just bathed me with kindness and acceptance and tenderness. And there was no condemnation and there was no discussion about all the things I've done wrong. And, you know, it was just love. I was engulfed with love. And he showed me other things, but I came out of that experience and I sat, I was completely fully gone. But I must have been outside of time. So I came back and my ex-husband came up. I had a notepad next to the bed and I wrote down the experience. And he was looking at me and he freaked out because I was glowing. And I was completely changed. Or I couldn't see the sin. I was just feeling massive love and it was coming off me like power. And I was changed, literally had gone from false identity. Even though I'd been filled with Holy Spirit and healed from clinical depression, what happened in this, through my childhood, I'd been dissociated. You know, as we do, we split, right, emotionally to cope with pain in life. So I had a lot of pain within me and a lot of parts of me that were shut off to cope with life. In that moment of being in his presence, the radiance of his love permeated every part of me, and I literally became whole. When I sat on that bed, I was in perfect peace, and there was purity flowing out of me. There was no sin, no guile, just deliverance from false identity and all the previous emotional states that I used to cycle through. It's just gone. I didn't want to go forward. I didn't want to speak. I didn't want to carry on in life. I just wanted to sit there in the perfection of this moment of being reborn, literally reborn. So I had been, by his grace, delivered from total false identity and a sophisticated construct that had become my identity in my life and what I did, that was based in fear and the desperation of trying to survive, which is why it, you know, the age of sort of 25, 26, I was pretty burnt out because I was trying to figure it all out on my own and keep going. And in that moment, the weight was gone. And I realized, you know, he isn't a respecter of persons, to use that phraseology. He honors and adores us all. But what that means is that what he will do for one of us, he will do for all of us. You know, he died for a relationship. He is passionately pursuing us. The Bible is a theology of encounters, right? If you look at all the stories, it's records of God's intervention with men and women. I never knew anything else. When I started coming into church, I began to be taught that it wasn't appropriate for me to share about my encounters. And it wasn't, you know, I was taught, I had religion put on me and I was trying to be with the family of God. And so I had to get some of that broken off me. But I thought everybody lived like this all the time. and we're supposed to. And I realize that, you know, my life, hopefully, is a message of hope for you. I know many of you will be having encounters, but that there's more. There's more. And so I'm going to sort of finish with this last couple of stories. So the Lord began to teach me more and more about the process of transfiguration, about what the finished work of the cross had done. I began to, to give you an example, one encounter, he took me up before the Godhead. Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit poured the fullness of who they are like an arc of light into me. No, it's not about me. Please hear that. This is about us. So he was showing me who we are so that as he began to release me into the body to serve leaders, to serve ministries, serve the body of Christ, I became increasingly passionate and spoke from that place of authority and impartation because I was living it. I wasn't learning it from a book. I was living it and then finding it in the book. You know, this is Ephesians, filled with the fullness of God. As we experience the love of God, if you look at Paul's prayers, there's a process. Strengthen them with might by your Spirit, Father, in their inner man, so that they can comprehend, experience, right, the height and depth and breadth and width of the love of God, so that they can be filled with all the fullness of God. We are filled with him as we experience his love. We are transformed through relationship, through intimacy, through the mystical union of oneness with God. We're one spirit with him now. So the enemy's obviously battered our minds. And he's been, because he knows if he can construct strongholds of beliefs in us that prevent us from actually operating in truth of who we are, he shuts down our governmental capacity. He shuts down the extension of the kingdom. And the Lord's waking us up. He's waking us up in this hour like never before. The invitation is to come out from every trace of orphanhood. Shh. By the time you leave this holy gathering, you will have touched this reality. This is his invitation. It's his desire. He's investing into this. He's pouring himself out for this. Thank you, Jesus. There's tons I could tell you, but I'm going to have to rein myself in. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, Holy Spirit. So the transfiguration journey is a big deal for me. It's a big part of how the Lord's spoken to me about us and it's taken me through it personally. And I don't live fully in that state. Life happens. You know, I have, by his grace, I have a default mechanism. He's established in me supernaturally the capacity to default back into rest internally and joy. I know that I am a source of joy to his heart. I know that I was the joy that was set before him as he endured the agony of the cross, as are you. And when our hearts ignite in that truth, that is transformational. When we realize we were the joy that was set before him, he was looking at each one of us. Wow. That wrecks us. I believe that alone is a key to entire holistic transformation of our lives. When our hearts ignite in the truth, that truth, the experience that we delight the heart of God. You know, he's not looking at our frailty and our stuff and distancing himself. He doesn't risk manage our sin. You know what I mean? He comes closer. He's like, come to me, come to me, come to me. You know, when Adam fell into deception, what did Father do? Where are you, Adam? I don't think he was barging around the garden in Eden going, you know, the stick. He was broken in grief. He's like, where are you? You've chosen to hide from me. You've separated yourself from me. Don't be ashamed. Come back. Turn back. And for us, you know, it's death finished work. We're a new creation, learning how to live in the place of abiding in his presence. Holy. Holy. Shoo. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Wow. We are not orphans. We are not alone. We have the very spirit of adoption within us. We can stir ourselves up in our most holy faith. We can pray in tongues. He's given us the gift of connection to his very being, to the one who created the universe. The spirit of wisdom and revelation is within us. The spirit of wisdom without measure, right? The answer to every problem abides inside of us. It's about learning how to live a life of abiding. And then fruit happens, you know, naturally, doesn't it? Like the sap rising through a tree. The tree doesn't work to produce fruit. The tree abides and just is. And in that place of abiding, connection, drawing from the root system within us of our relationship and our connection into his love, we become abundant, fruit-bearing trees of life, revealing him, beautiful for other people to come and taste, safe. So the world's crying out for leadership, right, in a place of safety, of for mums and dads to show the way, of for family. This is how we become that. By being completely saturated in the nature of our Father. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. So I'll just finish with this last encounter. The Lord was really showing me in a concentrated way what time it is for us. And I was actually in the kitchen. It's not been a particularly holy moment. I was cooking. And the presence of God just came. And Jesus was in front of me and he knelt down. And of course, because I could feel his presence and see him in the spirit, I was wrecked. So I was crying. And he, again, I knew this was for us. He put the sandals that he wore while he was in the earth on my feet. He kissed my right foot very tenderly in a fatherly way. And then he clothed me with the robe that he'd worn while he was on earth. And I could feel us being bestowed with great honor and an empowerment and a mantle to continue his ministry in the earth. How? By radiating him, by being an extension of his being. So then I was, you can see his ministry in Luke 4 and Isaiah 61. He came to set the captives free. How? By touching them with love. Transformational power. Redemptive power. He extends his hands now through us as his body. And the lepers are healed. The blind see. The dead are raised to life. Spiritually, emotionally, psychologically, physically dead. Financially dead. Relationally dead. Where death is operating, life comes and it transforms. So the next moment, I was then catapulted up, and in the spirit, I felt like I was being pulled up through a vortex, and I was high up above the throne room, and I saw literally thousands upon thousands upon thousands of the redeemed, of the great cloud of witnesses, and in one accord around the throne room, they were all saying over and over, "It is finished. It is finished. It is finished." And it was like thundering through my spirit. And I felt it go through my spirit and out. And because we're all joined, we're all one family with the Spirit of God inside of us, I felt our oneness and our unity. I knew that that resounding sound was coming through me as I was receiving this experience in the throne room, and it was coming out to us. And that the understanding of the finished work of the cross, the understanding of the power of the blood, is coming back center stage to the body of Christ in our time. And we are going to understand something of the blood and be able to walk in that level of authority because of the revelation that's being released now. It's phenomenal. Come on, we're living in an amazing time. So, because it was over and over and over, "It is finished," I went and studied that word. And when I looked it up in the original Aramaic, in the Hebrew, the word that Jesus spoke when he said it is finished was the word hala. In Aramaic, he said hala. The word hala means bride. So the last thing Jesus spoke on the cross was bride. So the purpose of the blood was to birth us. And through us, God becomes resident again in the earth and executes his government and brings his kingdom. And it's game, set, and match. It's about who we are. The fight is about who we are and the awareness of who we are. And our capacity to walk in intimacy and connection. It's the most important thing. Our relationship with Jesus is what will produce fruit in this life. It's of eternal significance. It's the only thing we leave this life with, our history with him. Our history with him in the secret place is what gives us power and authority. The enemy knows who we are, and he knows the ones who are aware of who they are and whose they are. And he's defeated. He's defeated when he stands in the presence of the sons of the kingdom, secure in their father's love, walking in oneness with understanding of the power of the covenant, that they are hala. We are hala. It is finished. The bride is birthed. There's no way back. Satan thought he was killing God. Okay. It cost him the human race. Think about what happened at the cross. In his delusion, he thought he was killing God. Big mistake. Anyway, I don't want to focus on the enemy, but we've got to look at the truth. You know, by contrast, we've got to look at the truth and remember who we are. So I just want to finish there. I said a lot. And just pray, if that's okay. I just want to pray for you. Pray for all of us as this holy invitation is extended to us and we continue over these next couple of days. Let your lives be flipping, completely, radically changed, because that's on offer. Jesus wants this more than we want it. And we are wrecked with the hunger for it. We're so done with religion, so done with apathy, compromise, weak living, sickness still in our midst. Come on. Give him time. Let him wreck your life. You're the body of Christ. You're the body of Christ. We're the body of the living God. And I can stand here and testify to the truth that I've seen him. I've seen him, as many of us have. Nobody can tell me he's not God. Emmanuel, God with us. As was he, so are we in this world. Everything you see in Christ is who you are now. You just got to step into it. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for the truth that sets us free. Holy Spirit, we give you free reign in our lives. We say yes to this invitation to be completely untangled from all false definitions of who we are, every remaining vestige of the state of orphanhood, every bit of warfare that's landed into that. I thank you for such an outpouring of your spirit of adoption that every single fiber and dimension and cell of our being would come into alignment with the truth now of who you say we are, holy. That we would live continually from the finished work of Golgotha going forward, following you in triumphant procession, displaying the manifold wisdom of God as your ecclesia. Wow. Glorifying you as your goodness and your power and your love and wisdom is displayed through our lives. Jesus, we turn away and we give to you and put under your blood everything that we have drawn the meeting of our needs from illegitimately. where if there's anything within us, Lord, that is propping us up, propping up false identity, perpetuating that state of orphanness, orphanhood. Remove it, Holy Spirit. Remove it. Come with your purity, your holiness. Touch us with the fire of who you are, that pure, holy love. Bring that sensitizing where we need it. Bring that gentle conviction where we need it. Breathe through with your ruach, breath of life again, and transform our hearts. They belong to you, Jesus. We give our hearts fully to you again. All that we are, we give to you, Jesus. We lay our lives down to the best of our ability. We adore you. You are our life. I ask for eyes to see you, spiritual sensitivity heightened, that you would release the spirit of the knowledge of Jesus in this place, that people would be having night visions and day visions and just encounters with you that will rock their world and reveal you. Meet our every need, Jesus, out of your riches in glory. I pray for my brothers and sisters that you will now reconnect every one of us. Recalibrate us, Lord, where there's love deficit inside of us, driving our behaviors. Pour your love in like oil. Be the foundation, Jesus. We give you full permission. We will pass through the pain barriers we need to let go of the ways that are not part of who we are as royalty. By your grace, we trust you, Jesus. We choose to trust you. Thank you, Lord, for integrated people. Shining, shining, revealing who you are. Thank you, Jesus. Saturate the family here, Lord. Saturate us. Cause us to be drunk with love for you. Reignite our first love experience. And for those who haven't had that, Lord, bring it. That we would be in that in love state again, living from that place of empowerment and saturation. It's all about you, Lord. We surrender. We relinquish control. We step out of the straitjacket of fear-driven self-preservation that holds intact the old nature. We step out of it all and we start again from this moment. We meet you at the cross, Jesus, and thank you, thank you, thank you that you've chosen us, that we are vessels of glory now forever. We have more value than anything else in creation. We are carriers of glory, made in your image, the penultimate of all creation, and we just are so overwhelmed with privilege and gratitude. Thank you, thank you. Pour in, Holy Spirit. Every heart changed. Pour in. There's no stronghold that can stand against the fierce power of your jealous love. Bust through them, Jesus. We give you full permission. Do the heart surgery. Wow. Ephesians 4:24. You were created to be like God in all righteousness and holiness. That's our destiny. And nothing can stop it because it's the will of God. And all things have to work together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purposes. All things must come into conformity with the counsel of his will, and his will is that he will have a counterpart that looks like him. Nothing can stop it. It's the desire of God, and he will have the desire of his heart. And the desire of his heart is you. Wow. give him everything that you are. Just abandon yourself to him. I'm going to finish there. Just stay engaged. I can see quite a lot of you are just with the Lord, so just stay there. If there's anybody that's still here from the worship team, maybe if somebody could just come up and play before the Lord, just minister as priests. And just stay in this place. It's holy. You don't have to rush off or do anything. This is holy ground. If the Lord's speaking to you, just go in. This is your moment. He's doing a new thing. He's advancing our awareness of who we've always been in him. What was decided before the foundation of the earth is being activated now. And as we say yes, that's all he needs, right? We align our will with his and say, yes, that's it. He is going to storm into our lives because this is the purpose of heaven on earth. Holy Spirit is going to make sure that Jesus has a bride without spot, blemish, or wrinkle that looks like him. The key is just abiding, saying yes, and stepping in. So as we just worship a little bit now in closing, just give him your whole being, your whole heart again. Give him the orphan places, whatever you're going through. He's not shocked. He's got the answer within him. He is the answer. That you have need of today. His arm is not too short to save. He's not saying no to you. It's just a matter of posturing yourself before his face, being authentic, humbling, opening your heart before him and letting him do the rest. So I've been over in America for a little while, serving over with different ministries over there, and we made an e-course. I've written a book, and we made an e-course to go with it, because one of the things that I get asked all the time is how do you move in encounters, how do you get into the presence of the Lord? So we've done a 4-week course where people can, it aids people's quiet times. So you get 10 minutes every day for 4 weeks in a workbook. This basically takes you in, it facilitates through activations into experiencing God, experiencing Jesus, and knowing more of who you are and operating governmentally. So this is a little video clip. It's just like 30 seconds or something, a minute. I don't know how long. Just giving you a taste and an overview of what you will get if the Lord prompts you to be part of it. It launches on the 12th of September, but it's available now from my website. And we have some of the books here. I mean, just as the Lord leads you, I'm not doing a sales thing. It's just if this is something that your Holy Spirit tugs on you about and it's going to help you in your own journey, praise God.
Thank you for listening to this message. For more information, you can call us on 0300 777 2223 or visit theprayerfoundation.org.